10 years ago today, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its landmark ruling that legalized same-sex marriage nationwide. But an Ohio law banning gay marriage remains on the books. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about what some Ohio lawmakers want to do about that is Ohio State Representative Eric Sinnenberg, a Beechwood Democrat. Thank you so much for being here, Representative Sinnenberg.
Thank you, Lucy, for having me, and hope everybody is staying cool today.
That's a challenge. Yes.
On this hot August. I said August. What did I say? August.
Feels like August.
June date. It feels like August.
That's right. Well, you are one of the Democratic state lawmakers working to put marriage equality on the ballot in 2026. Explain how that would work.
Yes. So Dr. Anita Samani and myself are the two joint sponsors of HJR4. That's House Joint Resolution 4. That's the number that it was given. Procedurally, it's a little bit complicated because it's not just a normal bill. We would actually have to have voters vote on a constitutional amendment to allow same-sex marriage in Ohio. Because even though, as was noted, this is the 10-year anniversary of the Obergefell versus Hodges ruling that at the federal level, because the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage is legal, under Ohio state law, even though federal law supersedes it, so that's why same-sex marriages are recognized in Ohio now. But under Ohio law, the constitutional amendment from 2004 that outlawed same-sex marriage and defined it as only between a, quote, man and a woman, is still the law of our state today. So the fear really is that the U.S. Supreme Court at any time could overrule their past precedent and rule that same-sex marriage is not a guarantee. And then we're back to the 2004 constitutional amendment, and every same-sex marriage in Ohio would technically at that point potentially be invalid.
Hmm. So even though, as you said, the Supreme Court ruling happened 10 years ago, that doesn't nullify what's in the Ohio Constitution based on that earlier constitutional amendment. That's still there and just kind of could take effect if the Supreme Court reverses itself.
Yes, Lucy, that is correct. If the Supreme Court Obergefell decision was reversed, then under Ohio constitutional law, which is the highest form of law, constitutional amendment, in our state, the 2004 amendment would take effect again, which would be banning same-sex marriage. So, and frankly, even if Obergefell never is overruled and remains the law of the land, the law of the nation, I think that we're at a point now in 2025, this would actually be in 2026, where as a state, we should say to ourselves, you know, we really don't want this ban on same-sex marriage on the books. It's a flag. It shows that we're not really a truly welcoming state to everyone. And I think that Ohio, being a Rust Belt Midwest state, I know Cincinnati and Columbus are doing a little bit better than my part of Ohio, Northeast Ohio. But, you know, we're really struggling up here in terms of jobs and growing immigration, getting new people, young people who are, you know, from Ohio to remain in Ohio. And I think this is the type of thing that sets us backwards. And we really should, just to be able as a state to wake up in the morning and look ourselves in the mirror and feel good about ourselves, say, you know what, we did the right thing and allowed same-sex marriage in our state. And made that a constitutional amendment.
Well, let me ask you this. If this does get on the ballot in 2026 and becomes part of the Ohio Constitution, even if you're able to kind of codify this the legality of same-sex marriage in the state constitution, how much protection does that offer for people who support same-sex marriage? Because it seems like opponents of gay marriage could seek to pass legislation that, you know, that kind of chips away at that right.
Sure. Well, yes, that's always possible. But obviously, with a constitutional amendment that's supposed to be part of our, once that passes, you know, 50% or more of voters, whoever of Ohio voters who vote in that particular election, Once that passes, it's really supposed to be unchangeable and the law. There are, I mean, you are correct, Lucy. People can always try to chip away. It's actually happening, unfortunately, right now with abortion rights, where that passed as a constitutional amendment. 57% of our voters voted for that a couple of years ago. And legislation has been introduced to sort of reverse that. But you would hope that at that point, if it gets appealed to a good, competent court, they would say that the Constitution supersedes legislation and take and that in that case, or in this case, abortion, same-sex marriage are allowed as under the Constitution.
Okay. Then it becomes an issue for the courts.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Representative Eric Sinnenberg, a Beechwood Democrat. Thank you so much for your time today. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Lucy. I appreciate your time, and thanks for having me on.
Up next, we'll hear from the lead plaintiff in the Supreme Court case that legalized same-sex marriage across the U.S. This is Cincinnati Edition. It's been 10 years since a Cincinnati love story resulted in the landmark Supreme Court ruling that legalized same-sex marriage across the U.S. Now some conservatives are pushing back. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about that landmark ruling and the future of same-sex marriage in Ohio and across the country are the lead plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Obergefell versus Hodges, Jim Obergefell, and partner with the firm Friedman, Gilbert, and Gerhard Stein, Al Gerhard Stein. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thrilled to be here.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Jim, this Supreme Court case started with your love story. So can you tell us a little bit about your late husband, how long you were together, and what inspired you to get married?
Yeah, so John and I were together almost 21 years by the time he died from ALS. And he was just this incredibly charming, witty, generous man. He made me a better person. He really did. And we had talked about marriage in the mid-90s, living here in Cincinnati. And that was what we wanted. We wanted marriage. Not something trying to be marriage. We wanted marriage. And we just assumed we would never have that opportunity. And then as he was near the end of his life due to ALS and at-home hospice care, the Supreme Court struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act with their decision in United States versus Windsor. And it was the first time in our almost 21 years together that we could get married and have at least one part of our government recognize us. So I spontaneously proposed. He said yes, and we made it happen.
You did. And Al, soon after that, you entered the picture. Why did you want to approach Jim and John when you heard about their marriage?
Well, we had a mutual friend, and she was very excited for them. And I was very interested. I'd been representing LGBTQ people for years on various issues, and I had followed the Windsor case very carefully. And I knew that while it was fantastic that Jim and John had gotten married, their marriage was not going to be recognized by Ohio. And I wanted to know if they wanted to talk about that. And our mutual friend introduced us, and we got together. And it's very important to remember that John was a player in this. He was in hospice, but he was there. And we all met together, and they were in the process of saying goodbye. He was dying. He was close. It was a sad time, but also a joyous time because they were giddy. They were talking about being husband and husband and just being goofy, being so excited to be married. But I did show them a death certificate, which was going to be relevant very soon for John. And noted that where it said marital status, Ohio was going to say single. And where it said surviving spouse, instead of Jim's name, it would be blank.
That's because same-sex marriage was banned in Ohio.
It was banned, and they didn't have marriage recognition. They didn't care if you were married somewhere else. So the Maryland marriage didn't matter. And so they had to make a decision. Do they want to spend their last few weeks being married and just in their cocoon, which I totally get, that's fine. I mean, they don't need to be martyrs for everybody else. Or do they want to use their unique opportunity to take this on and challenge Ohio's failure to recognize the marriage? And they decided to take it on.
Jim, what went through your mind? What did you and John talk about when Al showed you that death certificate? Because this is a very, I mean, it's a difficult time for a couple.
It was an incredibly difficult time. But, you know, we had just jumped through all of these hoops that millions of other couples never had to think about. They didn't have to worry about going to another state to get a marriage license, taking a dying person with no physical abilities to that other state to get married. So we had just gone through all of these efforts and jumped through these hoops. And to find out that Ohio would completely disregard that on John's death certificate, it broke our hearts, but I think more importantly, it made us angry. And when Al asked if we wanted to do something about it, you know, it was very much a joint decision because I was willing to do it. I was willing to put forth the effort, take that risk, something that was very scary and overwhelming. And John was also completely up for it, but he also understood that he could not be part of it because he had no physical abilities. That meant he knew and he was okay with me not being with him 24/7 like I had been. But he was willing to give that up. He was willing to allow me to go to court, to be on the media, all of those things. So for us, it really was anger and just this need for dignity. We just wanted to exist. We had just done crazy things to get married, and we wanted that marriage to exist in the eyes of the state we called home.
The Supreme Court issued its ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges 10 years ago, June 26, 2015. What went through your mind when that happened? I mean, what were you feeling?
Well, you know, I was sitting in that courtroom with friends, and Al was also in the courtroom in a different spot. And once it really sunk in that, yes, what Justice Kennedy is saying is that we won, that our marriage can never be erased, and couples like us across the country have the right to get married. No big surprise, I miss John. I wished he had been there. I wished he could experience that and know that our marriage couldn't be erased. But then what I wasn't expecting was to realize that for the first time in my life as an out gay man, I felt like an equal American. And then having to sit through the Chief Justice and Justice Scalia read their dissents, which I merely ignored because we had won. I didn't care what they had to say. And I just wanted to be out in front of that courthouse because I knew there was a party happening out there and I wanted to be part of it.
What was the emotional reaction in that Supreme Court room, Al? I mean, it had to have been pretty powerful for a lot of people.
Yeah, I was actually in the front of the courtroom where the lawyers admitted to the Supreme Court bar sit. And they're a pretty jaded lot. For the most part, they are cynical and are not very emotional and just don't have a lot of empathy. But in that crowd of lawyers at that time, there was weeping. And it was profound. We knew that we were witnessing history. And it was pretty exciting.
Jim just mentioned these dissents and, you know, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade 3 years ago, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote with that decision that he thought the court should reconsider the Obergefell decision and other cases too. Do you think the federal right to same-sex marriage is now at risk?
Well, yes, I think it's at risk, but I don't think it's any overturning is imminent. There isn't a case pending that seriously poses a challenge. Kim Davis has got her case up there, but they aren't going to take it. And I don't think there's a case that'll really present a challenge soon. There is a battle. There are some justices that want a revisiting of all the cases that rely on substantive due process. There are other justices who aren't ready to go that far. In his majority opinion, in Dobbs, Alito said that he wants this decision to be limited to abortion. So I'm going to take him at his word for now, but we have to stay vigilant. Ohio has in its constitution the 2004 amendment that bans gay marriage. The only reason that's not in place is because of Obergefell v. Hodges. So if there's a reversal, we got a problem. There is a federal law that would protect marriages that are in from other states that would allow for recognition of marriages like what we accomplished in our lawsuit. But again, that federal law could be repealed. So we have to stay vigilant. We have to work hard. There's one other thing I want to make a point of. Prior to Obergefell v. Hodges, when people asked, why do straight people get married? The answer was, well, that's love and commitment. And then when people ask, well, why do gay people get married? They say, well, they just want rights and benefits, as if it's some political movement. And I think what Jim's case established so firmly is that all people get married for love and commitment. And we just have to keep that centered and remember that this is about love and keep acting on that.
You just mentioned Kim Davis. She's the clerk from Kentucky who she refused to sign right. marriage licenses for same-sex couples.
Right. And her case in various iterations has continued to percolate. And she's now gotten a request to the Supreme Court that I don't think will go anywhere.
We're talking in this recorded interview about the landmark Supreme Court ruling, Obergefell v. Hodges, and what the future holds for same-sex marriage in Ohio and across the U.S. Jim, are you concerned? I mean, there is this conservative push, not just from Justice Thomas, but the Southern Baptist Convention. There are all these, you know, laws that are being introduced in other states to try to kind of get rid of same-sex marriage. Or are you concerned? I mean, what would it mean to you if somehow Obergefell were overturned?
Yes, I am very concerned. And even with all of these state legislatures taking the actions they are and the Southern Baptists, I really focus on the Supreme Court and the reality that we have a Supreme Court filled with justices who, in their Dobbs decision, overturned a right that we had relied on in this country for 49 years, even though precedent supposedly is one of their bedrock principles. And does that mean they lied in their confirmation hearings? I'll leave that for other people to determine. So I am worried about marriage because of that fact. This court no longer respects precedent. And when two of those justices have clearly said, we want to overturn Obergefell, well, of course, we should be concerned. We can't be complacent. What would it mean if it were overturned? You know, for me personally, I don't care that it's my last name on this case. What I care about are people across this country. As Al mentioned, here in Ohio, we have that existing state-level Defense of Marriage Act. Well, what does that tell queer couples in our state? You have to go to another state. Well, what about those couples who can't afford it? What about couples like John and me, where one of them is dying and physically and because of their health, really should not be traveling to another state? What does that tell people? It tells them they're not welcome in this state. So I'm worried about that. I'm also worried about queer kids. I had a young woman tell me that if it weren't for Obergefell v. Hodges, if it weren't for a lawsuit and a Supreme Court decision, she would have committed suicide. She had never seen a future for herself as a closeted gay kid. But that decision gave her a future, and it kept her from ending her own life. I worry about queer kids. I really do. They deserve a future that includes the possibility and the right of saying, I do, to the person I love, whomever that happens to be.
We've talked about the law that still is on the books in Ohio, and some lawmakers in Ohio are sponsoring a joint resolution to try to get a constitutional amendment recognizing same-sex marriage on the Ohio ballot in 2026. I want to get thoughts from both of you, but Jim, starting with you, what do you think are the chances for that?
I don't hold out a whole lot of hope just because of all of the ways the current legislature and state officials undermine every single citizen initiative in this state. They do everything they can to confuse the language on the ballot, to make people think they're voting one way when they're voting a different way. So I worry about that, and I hope it happens. I mean, it should happen. Queer people in Ohio are no different than straight people in Ohio. We fall in love. We deserve a future. We deserve dignity in our relationships. So I hope it happens. But honestly, given the way this state has been run over the past many years, I have to worry about it.
What do you think, Al?
I do think that continuing to educate the public, continuing to remind people and center love in this whole conversation is critical. I'll remind your listeners, which is the Cincinnati area, that we tried to just use litigation to save us from Article 12, which was the worst anti-gay charter amendment you can imagine, passed in Cincinnati. And we used litigation. I represented the plaintiffs to overturn it. We lost in the U.S. Supreme Court, and Cincinnati became this island of hate. We had boycotts. We had entertainers not coming. Cost the city millions of dollars.
That was not that long ago.
And yeah, well, in 2004, the very year that Ohio passed the gay marriage ban, Cincinnati repealed Article 12. So we're a little ahead of the game here in having gone down this road. And ultimately, we do need voters, humans, people, to realize that it's in their hands, and protecting these rights is critical for each and every one of us.
Jim, you know, we've talked about it's been 10 years since this landmark Supreme Court ruling that I know you say you don't care if your name's on it, but your name's on it, which I'm assuming is a point of pride, you know, and certainly reflects the love that you have for your husband. When you think about the future for same-sex marriage and even the future for queer people in Ohio and across the country, what do you think that will look like 10 years from now?
I mean, that's a tough question to answer. It's a tough future to think about, especially given all of the anti-trans bills and laws that have been passed in the state of Ohio. I mean, that's going to take a long time to get rid of those things. And it will take, as Al said, people voting in every single election so that we can actually have a state legislature that more accurately reflects who we are as a people, because right now it doesn't. So I'm worried about trans people very much in this state, and I just see those types of attacks continuing. So in 10 years, I really don't know. I like to say, if I'm going to dream about what the world is like in 10 years, then I'm going to dream big. And my dream is that in 10 years, we would no longer need a single LGBTQ plus rights equality organization, because we would have finally taken all of the steps and progressed in this country so that queer people and all marginalized communities in this nation are actually part of we the people, and they enjoy the same rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if I'm going to dream, I'm going to dream big, and that's what I would love to see in 10 years. Do I think it will happen? Unfortunately, no.
What do you think, Al?
Well, think back about the status of gay marriage in 2005. I mean, 11 states had just passed gay marriage bans. They had a number of other anti-gay bans, laws in place. We were at a pretty low point. There were a number of funders and nonprofit groups that organized and really planned a national campaign to raise awareness, education, legal strategies, working together to create the momentum necessary for civil marriage. And, you know, just by sticking to it, they won some political battles in Maine and in Minnesota. And then they also won some legal battles, both under state constitutions like Massachusetts, and then finally under the federal constitution, really taking off after Windsor. So it's a multifaceted effort that's needed. And we have to do the same thing for trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming folks. We have to stick to it. And I think it can be done, because it's just amazing what happened between 2005 and 2015.
We have to be an optimist to be a civil rights lawyer.
Well, right? That's true. Yeah. And people who know me say, yeah, he is an optimist.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with the lead plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Obergefell v. Hodges, Jim Obergefell, and partner with the firm Friedman, Gilbert, and Gerhardstein, Al Gerhardstein. Thank you both so much for your time today. And Jim, thank you for talking with us about your husband.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we'll discuss whether Ohio's fracking industry poses a threat to groundwater. This is Cincinnati Edition.